Hey, it's hot and cold Saturday morning. Purveyor of good music on Saturday morning. So good morning. My name is Tom. 8:08, and we're ready to roll, huh? It's if that doesn't wake you up, you know that I view my role. I mean, if this was a late night show, I'd be trying to lull you to sleep. But that it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Nobody should be asleep 8 o'clock in the morning. So I take my job seriously. Oh, so yesterday, you know, I tried to remember things that happened during the week that maybe we can discuss, maybe are germane, maybe have some relevance to your life as opposed to my odd existence. And there are times it is a very, it can be a very peculiar place that Tom Gosi hangs out in. But yesterday kind of got to a whole new level of weirdness. So I get up and you know, I can't sleep. I take a lot of naps after work, but in the morning I'm up between 4:30 and 5:30. There's just too much going on. I think it's time to get going. Doggone it. Nobody's waiting for me. We got to go. So I get up and I make my breakfast and I sit down in front of the computer while I'm eating my Cheerios and hit the email thing. Open the computer and email. There's 245 emails. I'm like, this is not a good sign. I mean, I get a lot of emails. I don't get 245. And I open it up and it's all returned emails from a Romanian address, returned emails from Google, and they say they're suspicious. So I'm a little thrown by that. Delete them all. A few minutes later, another 150 come through. And now, you know, I'm to the age where I have people working for me who take care of computer stuff for me. My daughter usually does it. And I don't want to know about computers. I just want to use them. I want to try to pay attention to not do stupid things. You know, you don't click on things that come in the email. You don't, from people you don't know, even people I do know, I'm very suspicious of clicking on anything. I run all kinds of software to ferret out malware and, you know, infections and stuff like that. So, and I know that it's not perfect, but I think I do fairly well. Well, I have an Apple computer. I have a Macintosh computer, which is a little bit less susceptible, not immune, but less susceptible to having a problem. And I have noticed down at the bottom of my mail program, there's a little thing that says saving drafts. And I've tried to sort that out. I've had discussions with all my IT people, which are children of mine, and everybody kind of ignored this query that I had put forth about why is it doing that. And I thought, well, it's just some little quirky, buggy thing. Well, it wasn't. It was apparently somebody in Romania using my email address to send spam, my hot and cold email address. So yesterday, I got back in touch with all my IT people. Yesterday, excuse me, we had to change all my passwords. That takes longer than it should. I mean, I have numerous email addresses for all the different things going on. Not a tremendous, it's under five. So it's not a tremendous number, but anyway. Nothing wants to work right. You know, you go change the email address and something is wonky somewhere. You know, maybe it's at our service provider. Maybe it's one of my computers on my iPad and excuse me, my cell phone. But so, you know, we spent a half day getting this all sorted out. There's been a few emails still coming back through that I guess I give Google some credit in that. This at least is coming back, so I'm aware, And a few came through this morning, and that's okay. They were delayed. It says delayed. Okay, it's all right. But so I'm looking at news last night. Excuse me. Last night online, and is it Experian has had that big data breach, and they're giving everybody money for the data breach, and I'm thinking, well, is that where this all happened? So, excuse me, you could look up your email address and see if it's been compromised, and you may find this hard to believe. My email address was compromised through Experian. Oh, okay. So I said, and the article said that if you don't put your claim in now, which is $125 you get back from Experian, you lose all legal rights for future losses, which doesn't quite make sense to me, but okay. So I clicked in and I did the thing. And it says, have you had any compromise? And now it seems a little interesting to me that the day that I find the Experian notice is the day that I've dealt with this. You know, I've paid somebody a day basically to clear up my email nightmare. But so I put a claim in for that too. By Godfrey, ain't going to get away with that as Romanians. So anyway, it was I guess the moral to the story is if something looks odd, maybe it is. And I should have been more assertive with my people, except they all kind of either didn't respond or they said, I don't know. But that's the times in which we live. So hopefully we can at least take care of heating issues today and insulating issues and maybe electric vehicle issues, and we'll leave the computer issues to other people. It's hot and cold, though, which means it's 8:15. We got to take a break, man. It's just that time. It just right there. And we'll be right back. Stay with us. We got lots to go. All right, we're back. It's 8:20. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got a text line, too. If I could remember the number, we'd be on a good. Be good. 601-207-4478. I stammer. What can I tell you? It's a radio show. It's live. There's no pre-recorded stuff here. Well, maybe a little bit. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Hoping you can explain something for me. I may have gotten myself into a bit of a kerfuffle here.
Uh-oh.
So I have a seasonal home that for years I've been trying to think of a way to get some cooling into when needed. And I finally settled on a through-the-wall air conditioner / heater unit that I found.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw online that plugged into a regular outlet. Sounds good. Went into the store that through which you bought it. They didn't have it in stock. Had to order it and just double-check. Now, this plugs into a regular outlet, right?
Mm.
Yes. Okay. So I think most of the listeners, and me included, would be a little intimidated by cutting a hole through the side of your house, but got a friend down here, and that's what we did.
That's what recip saws and chainsaws are for, right?
So, well, we used a combination of circular sawzall and multi-tool.
Okay.
And we got it done. Came with a, purchased a metal sleeve,
mm-hmm,
that really quite sturdy. I was very happy with that. Slid the unit into it, great, ready to go, get down there, and I look at the plug,
mm-hmm,
and it's got the round ground prong, mm-hmm, and two flat prongs, which are oriented 90 degrees to one another.
Yep.
That isn't a normal outlet.
That's not a normal outlet in my book either.
And yet in the manual,
mm-hmm,
the pictures show a normal outlet.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, what am I dealing with there? And is there an easy way out of it? Or, I called the big box store, and they said, well, you can bring it back in.
Now you cut a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
What does the manual say the voltage is?
You know, I couldn't find that. It said, I think it need. I have 20 amp fuses actually here, and you know, I told them all that, and they said, "Oh yeah, it should be fine." I didn't know if there was some kind of an adapter or an outlet that I could swap out for the one that's in there, or whether I've got.
I guess
an electrician or change the unit.
Well, at very least, you're calling an electrician to change the outlet. It's very likely, without seeing it, I'm not sure. It could be a higher current, 110 volt, or maybe a lower current, 220 volt. And it should be in the manual somewhere, or I would get online. What's the make of the unit?
Keystone.
Okay, and is there a model number?
The manual has like 8 model numbers.
Okay.
On the front of it, written in many languages.
Okay.
And
well, throw one at me. Let's just see what we can find.
Crap! Now I got to find the manual. I'm walking around this place. Oh, what did we do with it? I was pretty smug about the hole in the wall. That was looking good.
Well, that was the heavy lifting part. Although you never know, the wiring might be more. I had a friend. Well, Tom Morelli used to be on the radio show. Needed an air conditioner in his studio years ago, and he bought one. And it was not a big room. He bought a huge air conditioner. He could, you know, freeze fish, and it was a 240 volt plug. When he got it, he realized it wasn't plugging in a regular wall outlet, and I wound up getting an outlet in for him, and then he proceeded to sub out to freeze fish. I mean, it worked really well.
Okay, well, I thought I just found Dave's manual. But
I tell you what, why don't you look for it and either shoot me a text or give me a call back rather than keep you on the phone here.
Okay.
Okay.
Hope I didn't put it in my friend's car.
Okay. If you have the opportunity, you should be able to text us a picture of the plug too. That would help.
Okay.
All right.
We'll give that a shot.
Okay.
All
thanks.
Right, thank you.
Okay. Bye. I suspect it's a 240 volt outlet. So, unfortunately, there are times, especially in bigger stores, where people, especially if it's something that's not on the floor, people aren't necessarily versed in it. I'll tell you what, I'll look during the next break as well, see if I can pull it up here and get somewhere with it. Speaking of computer stuff, to go back to that for a minute, I came across an article that people have talked about the Google and the Amazon personal assistants, the things that are in the room with you. You say, Alexa, turn on the Beatles. And next thing you know, the Beatles comes up on the magic sound machine. And the fact that these devices monitor what is going on in your space and people can hear what you're doing. So there's a loss of privacy there. Well, apparently that also holds true for Siri on the Apple devices, which is interesting given that Apple claims to be big time into personal protection and personal privacy. It's always nice to know that the article had to do with Apple listening in on what I will term as personal moments in your life. So, okay, I don't carry my phone with me all the time, and there are times probably my phone hears things. I have sworn at my phone, and the phone will say something about they don't like that kind of language. Because if many times if I'm busy, I'll just pick up the phone and say call Pete, and it won't respond. And I go through several versions of call Pete, hit buttons and stuff. And then the fun starts. Hilarity ensues. Let's go over to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. I'm,
I'm back.
Okay.
I found the manual. So there are a bunch of different models listed, but they only change by a number. So it's they're KSTAT08-1C, and then there's a 10-1C, a 10-2C,
okay.
12.
I got it. Okay. Hold on. So that's a 115-volt device. So it's I think it's a higher current device where it's 8,000 BTUs. Let me just see here if we can get much further than that. It probably is important to have an electrician look at it just because your current outlet may not have the capacity. You're going to have to change the outlet at least. You need to have somebody tell you that the wire can carry the current that is required by the unit. And like okay. I said, the plug itself is oriented like that because it's drawing higher current than a regular household outlet would.
All right. Well, it's funny. In the manual, it doesn't picture the plug end like that at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably written in China.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, so you don't have to fill the hole up. I mean, that was it's just a matter.
If nothing else, I'll get just an air conditioner that fits in the same hole. the extra heat would have been nice, but I need the cooling more than the heat. So.
Okay. All right. Good luck.
All right, thanks a lot.
Keep us posted.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah. So, it's 115 volts. Oh, well. There's the sleeve. $69.99 for the sleeve. I'll look at this during the break because the break's coming right up. It's kind of interesting when you have air conditioners that reverse to do heating. And I've looked at them, and usually the coefficient performance is not great, but maybe for, September, October, it may help carry the place without having to go too far. You get too cold and they're just not going to keep up. But I'm going to look at specs because I got to take a break right now because it's time. So we'll do that. We'll take the break. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls at 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. It's hot and cold. Stay there. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 8:36. Here is the Voice of Maine. It's hot and cold. Saturday morning. It's me, Tom. And let's see. General Appliance and Brewer. Center Street and Brewer open Monday through Friday from 9 to 4. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, you want to check them out at 989-4341. Talk to Alan. He will help you make things right again, 989-4341. And you can go in and Center Street and Brewer. I don't know which is easier, if they're busier in the store or busier on the phone, but you got two options there. So 989-4341, Center Street Brewer, General Appliance. You need to know that number, and now you do. So I got a text here, and I appreciate it because I couldn't remember the outlet for that device is called a NEMA 20. I don't want to go too far out here, but I think you might be able to use an adapter on that, but I'd really want to have somebody who knows what they're looking at make sure that the circuit can handle the current before you do that. The caveat to that person. Let's see. We got phone calls at 1-800-966-1039, so we will go back to the telephono. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Thomas.
Hey.
Enjoy your show and your music.
Thanks.
And your conversations with your son. And I have a hybrid automotive question for you.
Oh, good. I can answer those.
All right.
Hopefully.
We have a second-gen Prius, and we also have a first-gen Insight.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to be able to know what the voltage of the hybrid battery is. I'd like a voltmeter for you might find in the factory dash of some vehicles. I've been able to, on the Insight, got the battery exposed and checked with my digital voltmeter what the voltage is, And I'm wondering, is it possible to take a digital voltmeter, strip off the probes, and put on ring terminals and attach it to the battery pack and just ride around with that, showing what the voltage of the battery pack is?
You want to make like you're an electric car driver, is what you're monitoring. I think you can. I don't think you need to go to that extreme. And I think it's a little ill-advised, just given the voltage is so high. If there's a shock potential there, but the easier way to do this would be with a scan gauge. It's an add-on device that plugs into the OBD2 connector.
I have one of those, Tom, but I don't, and it'll read the 12 volt battery voltage, but it won't tell me what the hybrid battery voltage is. Well, it might, but I haven't been able to figure out a way looking through
the
instruction
manual. The other thing you could use is for the Prius is something called Dr. Prius, which will show you the voltage. The problem with monitoring these voltages is they jump up and down a lot. So there's no, I mean, the nominal voltage on the Prius battery, I believe, is 201 volts, and it's all over the place. If you're monitoring it, as I do, if I'm, you know, working on a car, it's up and down probably a span of 40 volts, depending on the condition of the battery and a lot of other things. So
just as the gauge on the display shows you the battery.
Yep. Well, no, it's even quicker than that. I mean, that is kind of showing the state of charge of the battery. If you're monitoring it instantaneously, it's up and down and up. I mean, it could go up 10 volts or 20 volts in a matter of seconds as the system, the display in the car is slow to respond compared to what, you know, a true monitor does. But that being said, I could have sworn the scan gauge, or maybe scan gauge 2, I thought one of them did that. You might want to Google that, see if you can find
okay.
it. But I don't think you need to get into the hooking right to the battery. I think there's a safety factor there that I'm not comfortable with, and they got my hands in these batteries every day of my life. You know, running two wires in the car where there's the opportunity for things to chafe, it kind of unnerves me a little bit.
Yep. All right, I'll look deeper at the scan gauge.
Yeah.
It's not in the hard copy book that came with it, but they don't talk about hybrid cars at all.
Right.
I think.
And also, I would I'm positive there's a way to look at it through the OBD2 connector for both cars, and that's a safe way to do it, because now you're just getting feedback from the computer.
Right. And the OBD2 connector is where the scan gauge plugs in.
Right. That's right.
Okay. I will do some further research. How's your Prius doing, Tom?
Mine's fine. I just got a text message from my daughter. She's got a red triangle on. So I said, I'm on the radio. Ain't doing nothing right now. And I'm sure she's still driving.
Yeah. And that's 413,000 miles.
Mine turned 413 last week, yeah.
So. Are you going to shoot for 500?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
I'm headed there.
Well, just the fact that you drive that car, I bet, sells a lot of Priuses for you.
Well, it doesn't hurt, I'm sure. But
yep.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. You know, it's funny. This week there was a Prius for sale at one of the auctions, had 303,000 miles on it. So I was interested in it. And I've sold probably six or eight with over 300,000 miles on them. And usually to get to that point, they're well-maintained. And so but the price has to be right, because you're not going to sell a 300,000 mile car for a lot of money. And for somebody driving around town or a young person's first car, I think it's a great fit. And if you change the oil and keep, you know, they usually keep going. So this one had a replaced bumper cover, wasn't painted, but it looked good. I couldn't see any rust, and the price went crazy. And I've seen this many times. You know, I've said, well, I'll get that one. It's got 300K on it. And it just goes beyond what I think is a realistic price. And I let it go. I got enough cars for the time being. I'm always trying to make sure that we don't get beyond what would be a practical number to sell the car for. And maybe I'm just cheap, but I try to pass that along as well. So hopefully that works. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. On the internet, and I don't know if this is true or not. I have a feeling that this is bogus, but somebody posted a video of a pile of raw chicken. I guess it was getting ready to be cooked. And this is a hunk of chicken now, chicken breast, crawled off the plate and fell off the table. Now, it's got to be bogus. I can't imagine that there's, it's not doesn't have all the nerves and stuff in it. You know, it's prepared to be cooked. So I think it's bogus, but it's a great video. If you're a vegetarian, you're going to love this video. If you're not a vegetarian, you will find it fascinating nonetheless. And I guess you just look. I would Google crawling raw chicken. See what you get. It'd be good. Watch it while you're having breakfast. It'd be good stuff. Let's go over to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, Tom. Hey, the guy with the air conditioner, he doesn't want to use an adapter on that unit. All those outlets are rated at 15 amps.
Okay.
A 20 amp rated outlet has the little cross on it, so you can use it for a regular blade or the cross blade.
Yeah.
So you're right on with, he might want to have a electrician check the circuit, make sure it can handle it, and then put a new outlet in for it.
Yep. Good deal. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, there's two things we're looking at, or one electrician to look at is, one, what's the gauge of the wire? Two, what's the current of the circuit breaker? And what else is tied into that circuit? So just to be safe, it only takes takes one time to have something like that going on. Just got a text message here. It was more likely frog's legs. It didn't look like frog legs to me, but I don't know. I don't know frog legs from chicken breast. Speaking of critters, we have a wet area adjacent to our property, and Pete, you know Pete from hour number two calls in. Well, Pete has been tracking a turtle, a red slider turtle, and I come in the office, I think it was Wednesday, and there's Pete and Maria sitting there at our table with the turtle trying to feed it strawberries. You may find this hard to believe. The turtle was not hungry, and he had a look like, I'd like to go back to my swamp now, please, which he did. And I explained the whole salmonella turtle thing to my children, and they sanitized everything when they were done playing with the turtle. So, for what that's worth, our phone number is 1-8. It is a different place of business, that's for sure. I emailed the picture to my wife, said I pay for this. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We've been doing groundwork at my house, straightening up stuff, and we had to move some plants. And all our children are grown up, and they're out of the house. Thank you, God. And I got we had to move these plants, and my wife is just freaked out over the fact that we had to move these plants. Well, she wasn't really freaked out. She was very concerned that we get the plants somewhere else in the ground. And I had a couple of suggestions and we finally worked out where to put them. We have two holly plants that have struggled, and they were doing reasonably well where they were, but they needed more room. So they got moved. And then there was a rhododendron plant that she got out. It was in a little, 6-inch pot 20 years ago from one of my kids, and that has grown into a gorgeous plant, and some peonies and some hostas and stuff. So she doesn't want any of these plants to die. I don't want any plants to die because I don't want to, A, I appreciate her concern, and B, I don't want to have to be the one who killed any of her plants. So and it's been a long week. You know, I'm getting home late, and I get home about 7 o'clock, and then, we're going to do the plants now, and get the shovel out and get the pick and have at it. And it was kind of interesting because the digging on my property is you don't go down too far before you hit marine clay. And so the digging is not a joyous experience, but it went reasonably well. We didn't kill any plants, and all the plants now have room. There, I don't know if you knew this, but holly plants, there's a male plant and a female plant, and they need to be reasonably close to each other for obvious plant and sexual reasons. There's only way I could say it. I know it's a family show, but... So we moved them apart a little bit because the female, I'm going to get in so much trouble here. The female plant got really big. The male plant stayed really small. So they were kind of jammed into a tight spot. They had grown a lot. So we gave them room to grow. So hopefully the boy plant can catch up with the girl plant, but both are thriving. So anyway, that's my plant story for the morning. For what that's worth. Let's see. We got a text here. I know little or nothing about car batteries, equipment batteries, deep cell marine batteries, etc. It's probably a stupid question, but those big Prius or Nissan Leaf batteries, do they take distilled water? No, they don't. They are sealed batteries. They have vents on them if they have to vent, but there is no liquid electrolyte like there is in a lead acid battery. And that's a good or bad thing. As an example, just to talk about lead acid batteries, there's a couple different types. There's the kind you add water to, and then there's the kind that are sealed. I kind of like, if I'm using a lead acid battery, having the ability to pop the cover and look to see if I need to add distilled water. If it's a sealed battery, you can't do that. Now, it usually doesn't need liquid, but if it does need liquid, a sealed battery, if it vents, which they could do, you cannot replace what vents out. Now, the electrolyte is usually gelled, but it can dry out. It can lose what would be water that's in solution with the gel if it overheats or overcharges or whatever. But the lithium batteries that are in the Nissan Leaf and the nickel metal hydride batteries that are in the Prius are sealed, and they don't have any kind of water in them that has to be added or dealt with. And they just, when they go, they go. You replace them. There's no messing around. And kind of holds true with lead acid batteries you can add water to. If the plates are exposed for any period of time, they're going to get messed up, and adding water will not bring them back. Give that male holly some holly tone. Okay, I'll tell my wife. Maybe he was in between the female and the building, and so he wasn't quite getting the room to grow. Then we got to prune him back a little bit. Now, anyway, from being transplanted, and they were kind of wiry, so you know, they had odd shoots, and they hadn't been pruned in a while. So we're going to clean up. That's on my list. I'll be doing that. I'll check on the holly tone. Thank you for that. And let's see what else we got. That's pretty much it. I'm covered for the week. The Romanian thing threw me, man. I tell you what. I literally scan my computer once a week with different security software to make sure nothing has come in, and that was an experience. And obviously, it doesn't get better as time goes on, and people who can get into things are more sophisticated. So it is what it is. Let's see. We got another text here. Have you ever considered a Tesla setup in a Prius? Wouldn't that increase the performance energy of the Prius? I hear the all-electric, and the message ended there. Teslas are, I guess, have better performance. You can add batteries to a Prius. A lot of people did them. Tesla batteries aren't necessarily the best fit in a Prius, although they could be used. There's limited space for the battery. There were a bunch of companies that made a conversion for the Prius. They called it a plug-in hybrid conversion, obviously, with not an odd name at all. But it was kind of expensive. So you might be spending $10,000 to give a Prius 100-mile range. It's probably not worth that kind of investment to do that. That being said, I've looked around at used hardware without the batteries to see if I wanted to get one. And at some point, I'll find one and I'll do it. Just out of curiosity, but generally, the hookup is just to make it real simple, is paralleling a really big battery of the same voltage with the Prius battery, and then charging that battery when you're not using the car. The catch with the Prius is the engine has to run to help lubricate the transaxle, and if the engine's not running for any long period of time, lubrication and cooling in the transaxle is limited. Because the car was made to run, and that gas motor was always going on and off, you know, many times when the car is running. So it always gave enough for lubrication. What's the video called? Raw Chicken Walking. I want to look it up. I came across it. I'll get it. Break's coming up here in just a minute. So I will get a good title for you to Google, during the break. I will share that with you. How's that for a hook for hour number two of Hot and Cold on Saturday mornings? I think that's a good one. Let's see. Let's go over here and let's do that. And we're going to play the music. And then when we come back, we'll talk some more at 1-800-966-1039. The text is 601-207-4478. It's Hot and Cold Saturday morning. And we'll be back in a bit. Stay with us. Yeah, and Mr. Arthur Connolly's got the beat, too. Sweet Soul Music, 1967. Ooh, if you remember that, you're getting old. It's Hot and Cold Saturday morning, hour number two, numero dos. Mi amigos, buenos dias. Let's see, phone number 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. Is there any way to put a temperature gauge on a 2008 Prius? Well, there's two cooling systems on the Prius. I suppose there is. I'm thinking out loud here. I know there is a secret screen you can get to on the center display that might show that. I've never really used it much because I have a computer that I just plug in and tells me everything. But it could be done. I'm not sure it's worth the aggravation. You know, the thing that really is important, I think, for anybody who has a car that kind of gets you to where you want to be, which is to be sure the car is operating without being damaged, is to have a scan tool. OBD2 is what the scan tool would be called. And you can get on eBay, or I think they sell them at Walmart, a relatively inexpensive scan tool for $20, $30 will tell you, you know, if a check engine light comes on or even a red triangle comes on, give you an idea what's going on with the car. Before I was a car dealer, I had a 2003 Prius with 350,000 miles on it. And I thought, you know, Tom, you ought to have AAA, and you ought to have a scan tool. And I had both. And it was a hot day in July in Bangor, Maine. It was 95 degrees, and the coolant pump for the inverter started to fail, and for the electronics. And kept throwing a code. I reset the code a couple times, and I could read the code. And I said, you know what? Okay, I know what the problem is. I don't want to do any damage. And the car kind of, in terms of electronics, the car will shut itself down shut down the hybrid side, the electronic side, before it does damage to electronics. It has sort of a built-in fail-safe. So I parked under a tree and called AAA. And I was going to have it towed to a mechanic friend, and I said, you know, I know what the inverter pump is. Why don't I just bring it to my shop? I'm just going to tell him what to do. I could do it, and I did. But the answer to your question is, yeah, you could do it. And the simple thing might be to get a relatively inexpensive remote reading thermometer, and you could tape the sensor onto a hose if you want to keep an eye on what's going on. I'm not sure it's necessary, though, and I would rather spend the money on the scan tool, which will tell me specifically if there is a problem and what the problem might be. Or you could do both. Hey, life's easy, huh? Okay, let's go do that. We'll talk on line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom. How are you this fine day?
Good. Beautiful day, huh?
Hey, I was listening before about the gentleman that had the window unit. The plug was different. I remember in my history of doing a lot of motels, they used to put these units in that were straight 20 amp, 125 volts, and that was a single receptacle only because it was dedicated for it. You know,
sure.
It was like an appliance.
Right.
And thinking that the prongs are one flat and one long, I'm thinking probably that his original house was probably wired with 15 amp receptacles. They're cheaper.
Yep.
And you can put a 15 amp outlet on the 20 amp branch circuit. You just can't go the other way. So I'm thinking maybe that's what it might be, you know?
Yeah. So. Yep. Okay.
Anyway.
Good. Thank you.
I got to drop that along. Thank
yep.
you.
Thanks. Yep. If you're not sure, it's cheap insurance just to have an electrician take a peek at it. It doesn't take much. It may just be swapping the outlet for you. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text 601-207-4478. the video for the walking chicken breast. If you go to YouTube, just put in walking chicken breast, and you will find it. And I'm going to play you the audio. It's from China, and I have a feeling it's doctored, but it's fun to watch, and you can hear somebody start screaming. I guess I would scream, too, like a girl if the chicken breast walked off the table and fell onto the floor. I don't have enough time to sit here and watch it over and over to tell you if I'm sure it's doctored. There's not enough left in there, I think, to make it do anything that you see it doing. But it's kind of fun. Doesn't take much to keep me entertained these days. Man. I came across something in the news. I think technology takes strange turns, and science and things that have a major impact in our lives kind of happen sometimes by chance, sometimes just out of weird tangential. It's not a straight line, I guess. You say, okay, I'm going to invent a better electric car, and boom, it's there. It doesn't work that way. But and this is kind of related to transportation. What started out as a toy really years ago, radio-controlled airplanes evolved into little radio-controlled helicopters and then into the drones. And as electronics have improved, a little bit of intelligence is built into these things. So drones tend to not crash. I mean, if we think back 10, 15 years ago when drones first came out, you know, they'd crash into trees and stuff. They now have the technology to try to avoid most of that stuff from happening because, you know, you or I've never run a drone. So if I sat down with one for the first time, the likelihood I'm going to crash it into the ground or into a tree or something is pretty good. Well, that ship has sailed. That is no longer a problem. Most of these things are pretty fail-safe in that sense. And if you start to look now at personal transportation vehicles, you know, where you're going to put a human on something and fly them around, which has been threatened and promised for years, most of them look like really big drones. So this little goofy thing that came really from China that was a radio-controlled toy, you know, then became a tool for realtors and for people wanting to take really cool videos. and is evolving, I think, into a what will be some sort of transportation thing. And a step in the middle of all this is the fact that drones, all these drones are generally run with electric motors, and the electric motor technology has gotten smaller and more powerful, and all very positive. So when I was a kid, you know, model airplane was a gas engine used, a methanol-based fuel. And you had to start the motor, you know, you had to have a battery, you had a spark plug and all that, yada, yada. But that evolved into now most radio-controlled planes, or many of them, are electric motors with small lithium batteries that give you maybe 10 or 15 minutes of flight time, which is usually what you wind up doing with a radio-controlled plane anyway. Years gone by, you didn't have that much gas on the plane. They're starting to show up with photovoltaics built in to allow the drone just to stay in the air, because these are not big devices, not a lot of weight there. If you buffer it with a little bit of capacity, I think, and it's a sunny day, that helps. It'll work with the PVs. And this whole idea of having drones that just stay in the air is becoming more likely, for be that good or bad. I don't know. But we got to take a break. That I can tell you we have to do. We'll be back in just a bit. Stay with us. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Be right back. Okay. Enough singing. Okay. I queued that song up for the words, right? The lyrics. And then I knew it had lyrics and singing in it, and I just didn't realize it was a couple minutes into the song. So I just wanted to get that in. You know, it's what I do. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. Hi.
Good. Hi.
Talking about, hi, about the drone technology.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that it hasn't already started with drone painting of peaks of houses, doing roofing, painting bridges. And, you know, I thought for sure that would happen quickly.
Well, I suspect it will. I think it's just a matter of time in terms of the computer stuff that makes it happen. I remember a couple of years ago there was a TV show on, the Discovery Channel. It was a gun place down in Louisiana, and the principal of the show turned out to be a pedophile or something. But at some point, some miscreant wanted him to take a drone and put a shotgun or some kind of gun on it, thinking, okay, this is something we need. Anyway, and they did it. And it was, you know, I mean, I had a hard time cozying up to the whole concept. It seemed a little perverted to me. But anyway, we've got a couple text messages here. We've got one. Have you had any experience with GEM cars? I have three. Having issues with one not showing state of charge, a change. Car will be at a charge of 85% after driving 15 minutes to drop to 20%. We changed out the batteries with new ones, not changed. It's not changed the outcome. We're using deep cycle batteries. I have messed with GEM cars, and I found them to be annoying because there's a lot of software built into the controller. So, excuse me, it may be a controller issue. Chances are, you know, my first guess would be that it was the batteries as well. If you had put new batteries in and you're having the same kind of experience, I would be wondering about something going on with the controller or the motor in terms of something is drawing too much current. That's about as far as I can go with that. I've not had any real positive experience working with them, and I found support to be lacking in terms of trying to troubleshoot them. And they're fairly simple devices. There's a DC vehicle, so there's not much to it. My solution was to work it backwards into something, excuse me, that was a very simple control. I would be inclined, if you can't get it may be worthwhile just to try swapping controllers. And maybe, I don't think it was real hairy to swap out controllers, or if you had a spare controller, or if they all use the same controller, to have a spare one. They're not high voltage, so they shouldn't be terribly expensive. I would think they're a couple hundred bucks at the most. But another one, they use drones and robots for boiler inspections and steam tub cleaning. So that's good to know. Let's see. We got phone call. We got to go here. We got to talk on the governor's line because Pete's here. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. How are things going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing my car dealer workout routine.
Oh, what's that?
It's where you take your right arm, lift it up, and then you take a sip of your coffee, and then you slowly lower the arm.
I pay for that.
All morning until somebody comes in to test drive a car.
So Pete and I yesterday had a great father-son experience.
Did we?
Yeah, we made...
when was this?
We mixed the concrete.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
Nah. I think it'd be more fun with my real father.
Yeah, okay.
We make concrete in a bucket, and we put a post in it so we can have a mailbox, because we were supposed to have a mailbox up like two months ago. You got to get the mailbox up by the end of the month.
Well, you didn't tell the first part of, or the middle part of that story. Is we went out to the edge of the street with the post hole digger.
The middle part of the story is Tom's too cheap for a P.O. box, so we're putting up a mailbox.
I want a mailbox. I've lived long enough without one. You know, where we used to be, we weren't close to the mailbox, so I've always been a little paranoid, especially with business. You got a lot of stuff coming in, parcels and stuff. We wouldn't see the mail being delivered. Where we are now, we'd see the mail delivered. So, and it's easy enough just to go grab it. And I am too cheap. I mean, I spend a lot of money for postal service delivery. And here's the kicker. Not telling any tales out of school. If you have a street address, right, and you have a post office box, if somehow, you know, many times you buy something and it's going to be a UPS. UPS wants your street address. Well, UPS sometimes and FedEx will pass it off to the Postal Service for the final delivery. Postal Service says, 24 U.S. Route 1, those guys got a box. We're not going to deliver to the. We can't deliver this.
Wait a minute. The radio listening public deserves some background to this.
Okay.
About 10 years ago, Tom wrote letters to everybody except for Santa Claus complaining about this.
Yeah. Because it's ridiculous.
Senators, congressmen, the postal service.
So I will give more context. We live in a town of 2,500 people. Everybody knows who I am. Be that good or bad, they know who I am.
Everybody knows who I am.
And if they, I don't mean that necessarily in a positive way, but the bottom line is, if it comes into what used to be our street address, and I have a post office box, put it in the post office box. Don't send it back to wherever. I mean, I had parcels go back. I mean, come on. And the Postal Service says, we can't do that. The people in the post office know me. I finally made enough noise that they would try to hold, you know, catch stuff. But they're not paying attention to it. And anyway, that's not why you called in today, Pete, to talk about that.
It's not. I like the post office. I think they do excellent work. My mail's going to keep going through, and yours is going to start getting lost.
Mine's going back to Romania.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that's fine. I mean, I wasn't actually calling in for anything specific. I just don't have anything to do right now.
All right. Well, Pete, I got a text message here, and it says, "Hi, Pete."
Hey, what's up?
I'll tell you what I could do. I could write down the phone number, and you guys could talk directly.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, I will literally text you back. I've got nothing going on right now, so it'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're...
You tell everybody what happened this week?
No, what happened?
This guy came in, and he was talking about when I was on the radio, and he said it was the single best piece of radio he'd ever heard in his life. I'm paraphrasing. That's not exactly what he said, but it was pretty close.
But was he sober?
I think so.
Okay.
He drove here. But, I mean, it's Waldo County. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Well, You know,
we still got an ambulance, by the way, if anybody's looking for an ambulance.
Yeah, yeah, and you actually greeted some customers who came in who we knew with the PA system on the ambulance, and they were impressed.
They lucked out because I just started it because, you know, it's a diesel, so you got to let it run a little bit, let the batteries get charged up. And I just started it, and they pulled in, and I'm turning on my PA, and hey, welcome to American Solar Equipment.
Our friends Walter and Rebecca, who are probably listening from Lincolnville. And they came in and bought a nice, really nice car this week. So,
and again, Walter is the one who gave us the excellent joke about the Hyundai Sonata hybrid. It is Sonata hybrid.
Yeah,
that's just that's
and you have to. We need a drum roll, and we need to think about that. And he just rolled that right off. I mean, it makes me feel, and I think you probably felt the same way, kind of dim-witted that we didn't catch it.
I think I'm pretty quick, but he just walks in the door. He's like, so that's Sonata hybrid, the black one. I'm like, no, that's a hybrid. Yeah. Sonata hybrid, sure. It's like 50 miles per gallon.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the Sonata hybrid is, and I took it out for a nice test ride earlier this week.
Yeah.
That does run really, really nice. I'm going to have to take back some of the things I said about Hyundai 10, 15 years ago.
Have you tried the seat heater?
Heated seats? It's July.
I know, but if your back is sore someday, you put on the air conditioner, put on that heater, and go for a ride. I want to tell you, it is an experience.
That's an excess. You're completely defeating the purpose of a hybrid if you get the air conditioner and the seat heater going.
Not if your back hurts. If your back hurts, and I'm thinking about digging those plants, I probably should have drove that home and then gone for a ride. Got some ice cream when I was done.
Speaking of plants, has Jim Dill ever called in to talk about ants? Because I brought up the apocalypse thing.
No, he hasn't. But
I don't think he actually listens to the show. I think he only listens to the episodes he's on. I can't blame him. If I was listening to the show, I would only listen to the last half hour when I call
it. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to cut you off now because I got to go do commercials.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah. Just cut me off because I don't have anything interesting to say.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to prepare for this like I do.
All right. Somebody come in and be my pal today, all right? I'm bored.
Okay, Pete. See you in a while. All right. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, that's Pete over at the American Solar Technics Prius store. www.prius.store. You could send him an email if you'd like. All his fan mail could go right to there. Hey, we're going to take a break. It's 9:32 here at the Voice of Maine. It's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. A little bit of Tuba Skinny, who's going to be in Belfast in the month of October. Oh, man. I can't wait. Hey, we're back. It's 9:38. It's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. I'm Tom. And let's see. Oh, we got some... We got some more text messages here, so let's go to the text, then we'll go to the phones, and we'll just continue through the rest of the hour. First text message, do you think a Prius would make it up the Mount Washington Auto Road without problems? Absolutely, positively. Just make sure all your fluids are correct in the car. It's done every day. Not a problem. Matter of fact, a Prius going down the Mount Washington Road does really well because it uses its regenerative braking. And if you're familiar with the Prius at all, you can put it into the B mode, which electronically brakes the car, saves your brake pads. Many, many moons ago, when I was just a mere ute, I drove a Volkswagen bus up Mount Washington with my friend Doug Slompek. Doug is... Just to put things in perspective, Doug is retired. He was an engineer on the Today Show for many years. That was his professional career. But we were camping in New England, and we drove up in the Volkswagen bus. The bus made it to the top of Mount Washington. And as we drove down, we picked up many hikers who didn't want to walk all the way back down. And you may find this hard to believe, on a Volkswagen bus, my brakes failed. And fortunately, I was able to drive into a pile of dirt to stop the bus. And everybody walked the rest of the way. They all got out of the bus. I don't know how many got. We had people. We had cake. It was quite a party we had going on. We have Prius be no problem. Let's see. The person who wants Pete to text them, and you remind Pete if he texts you that you said this. Has had the same problem with UPS and FedEx. They will dump off something at the post office instead of the street address, and then the post office isn't quite set up to deal with that. And, you know, I have no qualm with the folks at the post office, the local folks. The problem comes in that the system is not set up to deal with that. And they don't always see if something gets kicked because there's no address for it. It's just, and I have literally written letters and I've spoken to people in the bureaucracy and I've got completely blown off with what should be a common sense solution. But, you know, I guess that doesn't quite count. Here's a good one. Another text. We just bought a house with radiant floors. What should we know? That they should work. You shouldn't have to know much. You should turn the thermostat on and it should work. The limiting factor with radiant floors is there is some time lag. If it's a radiant floor where the tubing is stapled up underneath the floor, or it's it responds a little bit quicker than if it were tubing that's in a concrete slab, but both have some time lag, and you don't want to be playing a lot with the thermostat. You want to set it at one temperature and leave it there, and then just see how it works out for you. There's tweaks that could be made if you find it's not comfortable enough in terms of water temperature and other things. So if and when that happens, I think the number is 1-800-966-1039 on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10. And we can try to sort out the problems. Over to line one we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, Tom. Good morning.
Morning.
I had a question about monitoring the energy that comes through a sub-panel. I've got my main panel is in my shop, and the house is about 80 feet away, and the power goes from the shop over to a sub-panel in the house. And I'd like to monitor the energy usage in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any recommendations for that?
Well, the good old-fashioned solution would be to put an electric meter in. The better solution now is, and I don't have a brand name for you, but there are electronic meters that could be put in. It requires a little bit of wiring to measure the current and the voltage, and the electronics will do the rest. There are plug-in devices. There's one called a kilowatt, KILL-A-WATT. But that's for individual devices like a refrigerator or something, or if you just want to know how much energy it's using, it'll tell you instantaneous as well as cumulative, so it adds up how much energy you use. Similar concept would be for your sub panel, except it would be hardwired in place, and it's going to do there'll be two connections to either side of the power coming in, and then one of those leads is going to pass through a little sensor that will measure the current flow, and then that would be a little electronic do flicker in there to do the math for you and give you a report. I don't right now. I'd have to look something up, but I know they're readily available and they're not crazy money.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Okay. Maybe you get an electrician. It depends who's wiring it. I could try to Google it while I do the radio show, but let's just do electronic power. Electronic power meter. That's not the right one, but let's see what we got. Yeah. So there's here's one that's a kilowatt hour meter it's remote readable. It's $90. There's a number of them. Leviton's got one that's $260. They sell them at Home Depot. You can get an old-fashioned kilowatt meter, like would be on the outside of your house, that may need trim. You might need a panel or something. Those are cheap. Those are $50 or something. So they're out there. So what did I Google? I Googled electronic power meter, and that will get you there. So that was pretty good. I picked the right words and everything. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. I think we're going to be in the business of selling some used photovoltaic panels. We've got a couple, and we've got access to more. They're 190-watt panels, And I think they're going to be around $90. We actually have an ad up on Craigslist for them, and they output 48 volts, excuse me, and have a built-in charge controller for 48 volts. So we may have other wattages other than 190 watts, but those I have now, and we will be getting probably a fair bit more of them, and I'm going to tie that down hopefully this weekend in terms of how many we have and what other sizes we might have available. If any of you out there are doing a do-it-yourself off-grid project. Let's see. We go over to line one. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, I kind of missed part of that conversation, but I think one of the cheapest things you can get is a kilowatt meter plugs in.
Yep.
About $29, $30, somewhere in there.
Yep, that's exactly what I suggested. That won't do the whole space, but there are other ones out there that will. So thank you.
Yep. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah, everybody should have one of those kilowatts, by the way, just to keep an eye on things. You know, the houses we have so much plug-in stuff. And if you're off the grid and you got some solar panels on the roof and you got a battery pack and you got an inverter, you find out very quickly all those little what they call phantom loads that are running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that eat electricity. Those little bricks that plug in the charger for your iPhone, all these things eat up power even though you're not using them. And not a lot of power, but cumulatively it adds up. And if you're spending the money, if you put in your own system because it was too expensive to run power to the remote site you live in, you quickly discover how expensive this can be if you have to put in the infrastructure yourself to support the lifestyle that we're used to in 2019 in a house that's hooked onto the grid. So it's kind of cool to have one of these devices, just plug it in on something and see what it does, what that thing is using. And it's kind of surprising. Now, that being said, one side aspect of this is the fact that all these things that are running in your house that are using electricity, that energy ultimately becomes heat. Now, if it's January in Maine, it helps you. If it's July, what was it last week when it was 90 degrees? I don't know, July 24th, was that the day? Was that a hot day? I don't remember. It keeps your life, it keeps you not as happy. So there's pluses and minuses to this. Generally speaking, it does make a big difference. Speaking of that, last weekend, if you've been into our office over the past month, especially if you came later in the day or on a dark day, I had no overhead lights. All the wiring that was in that building, I disconnected and redid. And I used all surface mount conduit because I had major concerns about the way it was put in initially. And to the degree that if I took the cover off the panel that was in the building, there were no Romex connectors. It's just Romex going through a steel hole that's got sharp edges. They're like, oh. So I got to the point when we were doing the building over. I said, okay, I'm taking everything out of the walls. I'm cutting all the lights. Nothing's staying of the original wiring. And so I did surface mount. So I didn't have any ceiling lights. And I was looking online. I was shopping around for some reasonably priced LED light fixtures, and I was over at Home Depot last weekend, and I had picked up something and put it down because I found some clearance LED lights. They were maybe 8 inches square, and they were rated for 65 watts worth of incandescent illumination each. So I put two of them in last week. It was hot. I did it Sunday. It was a warm day. But we have lights in our office now. I think that's a great technological breakthrough right there. I also put cover plates on everything. It's safe, and we have light. And I went back this morning and grabbed two more light fixtures because I have we've divided the office into a storeroom and the office space. So I'm putting one more light over my desk. So they do I think they're like 15 watts each. So I've got 75 watts of 45 watts in the office, which is brilliant. It's really bright, and you got to love how the profile of LED lights are so thin. The fixture itself is maybe 3/8 of an inch thick, and it snap fits into a ring that fits on a box. So I have the box surface mounted in the ceiling, hanging down, fixture to that, and it's still plenty high enough that even Pete don't hit his head. So that's good. Let's see. We got a text here. Tom, with solar panels, is there any way to easily integrate them with a 12-volt system? Possibly. I haven't looked into it yet. I've just been offering them as 48 volts, and I suspect there's a way to do it. But usually my suggestion is if you're doing a 48-volt system to or if you're starting out fresh, do a 48-volt system, get a 48-volt, 115-volt inverter, and you're in business. And maybe at some point we'll get that hooked up. I have the it's kind of like the mailbox. The post office people were getting a little upset with me because I have them holding my mail because I haven't put the box up yet. And I knew it was going to be something else to try to dig a hole by the side of the road. And you know the snowplow is going to hit it if you get too close to the road. And so Pete and I went out there with the post hole digger yesterday and just, you know, got down about 3 inches. And it's just hard-packed gravel with rocks. So it just said, you know what? Let's get the bucket. We'll put the cement in the bucket. We'll put the post in the cement. And that's it. So it's been one of those projects that I've been on my radar screen. So come Monday, Stockton Springs Post Office is going to be very well pleased with me because we will have a bucket full of cement out by the road. And I think we're going to decorate it. I'm just saying, if you're driving by the neighborhood, I'm not sure what the decoration is going to be yet. It's still kind of gelling up there, but it'll be something different. Speaking of something different, and maybe it's probably too late in the show to ask this question. My wife, we have a deck we put in. We did the house over using Trex, and it was early Trex material, which is not that great. And it's not that great because it tends to grow lichen and moss on it. Trex is a blend of cement, of waste plastic and sawdust. And sawdust is engendering this growth. And it's staying, it's in good shape other than you got to scrape down the lichens and the moss every so often. So I told my wife, I said, you know, we can paint this, we can coat it, we can eliminate the issue. So she wants to paint the deck green and the railings red. We had a swing for a while. Well, let's paint that red. We have a little decorative pig in the garden. He's painted red. I acceded to that whim. I'm not sure if I want to paint the porch and railing Christmas colors, although it would be great at Christmas time. The rest of the year, I'm not quite sure about. So that's an ongoing point of discussion. Let's see. Speaking of ongoing points of discussion, we are just about out of time. I got a letter here from Iris and Jerry down in Lemoyne. If they've got a 1,000-gallon, 7-gauge steel tank they want to sell, that's from an old Hill boiler system. If anybody's interested, contact me during the week, and I'll put you in touch with them. It's very reasonably priced. other than that, if you got nothing to do on a Saturday, swing down and see Pete. He will otherwise be sitting there drinking coffee and thinking up stories about his father, which may or may not be true. So, okay, we're going to hit the tune, and we're going to turn it up, too. That helps. And bid you all adieu to next week. Enjoy the weather. It's going to be a beautiful weekend.